We will now be moving through to the gallery, where we'll hear from Raju and Krishna. I'm just going to give a slightly more kind of longer introduction to Raju and Krishna before we move through. So Raju Rage is an interdisciplinary artist who is proactive about using art, education and activism to forge creative survival. They primarily use their non-conforming body as a vehicle of embodied knowledge to bridge the gap between disconnected bodies, between theory and practice, to text and the body, and aesthetics and the political substance. They work in performance, sculpture, soundscapes and moving image, focusing on techniques of resistance and utilizing everyday objects and everyday life experiences in communicating narratives around gender, race and culture. They investigate history, memory and trauma with an emphasis on colonial legacy, its continuation and impact on the body. So Raju will be joined by Krishna Shah, a contributor to the interview portion of the work. Krishna has been a roots reggae DJ and singer for over 15 years, building connections in the UK roots reggae sound system scene. She co-founded Uprising, a Cambridge-based promotions company who have organised events throughout the UK. She is a writer and contributor to Galden magazine and is part of Off-Road Circus, an organisation that combines circus and social activism. So we'll maybe return to some of these questions later, but for now, if we can move through to the gallery. For Raju and Krishna.
We've got Krishna here, who's also a participant in this work, which is titled The Undervalued Energetic Economy. It's a work in progress. It's work that I started to develop while I was here at Wising on residency last year in March to May. So over that 6 to 8 week period, I was at a point in my artistic career where I was doing a lot of performance-based work and wanting to not do that anymore. And thinking a lot about the conditions of making work that I was under, my peers were under, mostly as, I guess, artists of colour within the UK context. So I used this period of residency to kind of really try and untangle this, but realising there was a huge entanglement with everything that I was experiencing in my kind of artistic career. And so, my background, I guess, was more kind of in self-organizing and DIY culture in the early 2000s in London. And I was involved, I guess, not by choice necessarily, but just kind of dealing with everyday struggle, what that meant, getting involved with various activisms. Actually, I know Zinzi from back in those times as well, and that's how we met, actually. And then I had also got involved. I'd been in art school, and I'd studied in art school, and with all the frustrations that you mentioned around Rashid Areen, and speaking about, and Nick was speaking about me, and Zinzi just turned to each other, and we were like, nothing changed, so kind of the same concern. So I'm not going to go over those again, but just to say those are kind of reiterated, of having that same experience of frustrations of, why are we not being taught about this at school? Where are these histories? Where are the other artists like me? Or in my specific case, finding artists that were other artists of colour but not necessarily trans or queer. Just kind of that struggle. I also got involved in education work because I did at some point become quite politicised about these issues and speaking about them, and that kind of attracted institutions. So institutions were interested in kind of me doing the diversity and inclusion work, and that's something that a lot of us fall into. So I was just trying to kind of make sense of it all. So I kind of was at a point where I was like, let me kind of just kind of get to grips with this. In the meantime, I'd set up an arts collective it was just me and Evan Ifakoye, and then Rudy Lowe and Raisa Kibir joined, and it was kind of an open group, and people came in and dropped out again, since he participated as well, and many different people. who were creative practitioners and artists and activists came to those spaces. So we created an arts collective to kind of to have space, to carve space, where we could actually come together and discuss some of the issues, whether it was about ranting about them, whether it was about sharing resources, sharing each other's work, having a space to crit each other. So collective creativity, we kind of provided the space where we were having a lot of roundtable conversation. It was a really important moment because this started in like 2014. It was a period where we started to then look at the Black Arts Movement and do a lot of, I would say, unarchiving of those archives. So part of that involved having cross-generational, intergenerational conversation with some of those artists directly. So we were lucky, Sonia Boyce, Keith Piper, Lavaina Himid was really influential. We had conversations with her. We went to the archive, the Making Visibles archive in Preston. So we started to begin these conversations. So we were kind of unpacking, what happened in history, what's happening now, how these things connect. I was trying to connect all these different areas of my life, which felt quite separated as well within activism, education, and artistic practice. So I developed this map while I was here to just kind of really try and untangle it, and then realizing that it's a huge entanglement, actually. So this is a work in progress. Some of these link, there's other links to be made, there's other things to be added. It was a series where, I don't know, were you there, Debbie, where we did a kitchen table conversation? No. Okay, so there was another part of the process where I kind of opened up to people to kind of, in a kind of kitchen table setting where they had these placemats and they could add to it or change it or, but I realized that it's very much kind of a self-portrait in a sense of my world and me and my peers and what's around. But part of that was, this kind of need to to question why we weren't coming up on this information in the archives, why it took so much to find that information, the accessibility to get to institutional archives even. So what I was thinking about in this project was to create a map, but also kind of a resource that will be a kind of on a digital platform so for example, if you click on one of these links, it kind of leads you to somewhere else or to somebody's work or to theory or to, so it kind of becomes kind of an alternative archive. So I kind of started collecting and interviewing people who I thought were kind of, when I kind of made these things, I was like, who can I speak to about 696 legislation? Who can I speak to about different aspects of this? So I started to do these interviews, and I've compiled four of them, and one of them was Trishna, who maybe you want to introduce yourself, but you were an artist based here in Cambridge, and I was here in the time. So I was in Cambridge, so it made sense to kind of connect with you and find out what you were doing and how you were connecting art and activism. So maybe at this point, because otherwise you won't get to say anything.
So I guess the way we started the conversation was we were talking about music, and I grew up in a Gujarati family. My mum always used to force us to go to bhajans on a Friday night, which I absolutely hated because all my mates were able to go out to normal stuff. We used to have to go to bhajans, but that was sort of started my journey into music. I went to art school as well, but then I got pregnant and, sort of I don't find that much time now to do my art, but I guess I put more of my time into music. Being a mum, I think I have to focus on making money and stuff like that to buy things for the kids, like trainers, which I recently bought my daughter. She's got her first like proper nice likes, you've seen the video. But it was nice to getting to know Rajul. I think in our community, art isn't something that's valued. So you go and you say to your mum and dad, I want to go to art school. I think that's a nice hobby, but actually you should go and do maths or something. So seeing Rajul and what they were doing and how they were making all these links was really important. Actually, I met you about, 5 years ago? So I guess that sort of re-inspired me to get in touch with my art a little bit. And I know I dug out lots of my old paintings and stuff, WhatsApping you photos and stuff like that, because I think that there's something about capitalism that takes me away from what I really want to be doing. So in a way, I understand this need to make money and have all the material stuff. But at the same time, my heart isn't happy unless I'm doing stuff that, that makes me happy, which is why these are really beautiful. I don't know if you guys have read these lists, but it's just, you know, it's doing that stuff that is good for me, and it's sort of good for humanity too, because if I'm happy, I'm a good person and I do better things. And also my activism, the whole capitalism thing, job, all that, that takes me away from my activism too. But it's like, it's this fine line, and I'm quite happy sort of trying to dance it at the moment.
So can you speak to, like, yeah, what you've been doing in Cambridge? You've been kind of building this like music sound system group together and things like that. And
yeah.
Kind of like what you've had to experience and doing that here in Cambridge as well.
Yeah, okay, so there was this collective called Cambridge Revelation. It was mainly sort of a lot of Jamaican guys and a few other sort of white people, and they were sort of very inclusive. It was like a sound system collective. They had a sound system, and we were all DJs, so it was quite, I mean, there was about 12, 15 DJs. That was when I was, I'm 34, so that was when I was 16, 17. And we had a pub, we'd do a regular night, take the sound system in there. We used to take the sound system at the Strawberry Fair. And that's how I got into, I think I first started listening to Roots through that. I mean, obviously I knew like Bob Marley and Peter Tosh and things like that. And so what was nice about that was just a community of people of colour, really. A community of, I told you how some of the elders were really encouraging, like my friend Roddy, who you met. He was like, go on, you know, buy tunes, go on, go and get on the mic and stuff, when I was shy. So that was beautiful to have that, because growing up in Cambridge, it's not like growing up in London where you're surrounded by lots of people of colour. You are the odd one out at school. You're the one with the oil in your hair, or you're the one whose family is speaking a weird language to you in the playground, and it's embarrassing. So actually to have that connection was important. And from that, Uprising came, which was just sort of jungle and reggae collective. Tonight we've got an event, so I'm not part of Uprising, I just get paid to go and play there now. I don't really want to do any of the organising, but I don't know if any of you know Demolition Man, jungle artist. You do. He's coming down tonight, so I'm playing there. So yeah, that's the progression. And now I guess the time that I get away from the kids when I'm not at work, I'm focusing more on writing lyrics and making music. I was building my sound system. I was like, it's too much money. I can't put money into that. I'm trying to focus on the music as a way of expressing what I want to the youth.
Yeah. So yeah, Trishna's interview, I mean, goes into more background, kind of, yeah, her history of organising and creating this space for yourself, and how that also connects to the activism, because I know you also write and you're part of activism. Well, do you want to speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So
or why you came to that one? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I've always sort of written poetry and stuff like that, and sometimes issues just get to you. You know, you see stuff in society and it just gets to you, and that's how I started writing for Galdem and contributing. It's a magazine. It's an online magazine that's written all by women of colour, but it's for anyone. It's stuff that's relevant to everyone. And I just get annoyed about things sometimes, and writing is a way to, you know, whether it's lyrics or an article, it's a way to express that, and hopefully that's going to be useful to someone.
Yeah, great, thanks. Mm. So, yeah, so my interest in kind of interviewing you and interviewing some of the other people, there's writers, poets, musicians, artists, and most of them connect with politics or activism in some way, but I am going to then move to kind of interview more activist, strict activist participants as well. I guess was to kind of give this some contextualization and some embodied experience of like what these narratives are, but also to kind of bring more nuance to them, because it can be really simplified, like, you know, diversity, inclusion, decolonizing, intersectionality, but actually what does that mean in the kind of everyday living kind of practice? And so, you know, yeah, there are some issues around cultural appropriation, what that means, like just different nuances to what some of these are about and how they connect to each other. And my hope is to kind of build on that. And I think, I kind of set it up like a kitchen table, because I come from, I guess, this legacy of like not having space, like this kind of closing of youth centres that we talked about, and you know, the squats, squatting becoming illegal, that kind of got rid of a lot of spaces that I was involved in the early 2000s in London Hackney. and rising rents and gentrification and so on has meant that a lot of us meet at kitchen table conversations and have done, and I've been involved in activism in Berlin as well, where that kind of happens there, because it's also very, like, this overt racism is still exists in Germany, which maybe doesn't exist in the same way here, but there's, you know, things we talk about, things not shifting, but actually context, things have not shifted, but context have shifted, policy has shifted, and there's still institutional racism, right? So a lot of us kind of, come together outside of, or find safer spaces like kitchen table conversations, and this is a space where we can kind of have these conversations, debate, discuss, critique, and where knowledge is produced but isn't really recognised in the same way that this, you know, knowledges are recognised within institutions and how they're spoken about in conferences and in academia. And I guess it's also to kind of counteract how I see a lot of that becoming this discourse within kind of academia, to kind of bring it back to the kitchen table. And I was trained as a chef and I also cook, and so that's part of my kind of everyday life as well. So a lot of kind of current activist groups like Black Lives Matter, This Doesn't Count, and so on, meet in kitchen table kitchen tables, and we don't have spaces. We just actually, a group of us have put together an application for Raven Row. That's, I don't know if everyone's heard about Raven Row, but they're offering office space for a year. So, you know, kind of thinking about how we organise and share resources, produce knowledge, and really unpack these kind of these conversations, these links. I don't know if there's any more to say.
No, that's fantastic. Yeah. I think that kind of brings us up to the break, and we can come back to some of these questions for open discussion at the end.
Yeah, feel free to come up to me and ask questions, and also there's the interviews and the work here. There's other people's materials that I've also found inspiring that I've included, but it's an exhaustive list. There's so much that isn't here that I'm aware of, but again, this will probably take me a lifetime to kind of make into a kind of a digital resource that I'm hoping to do. Thank you very much.
Can the SoundCloud be accessed?
Yes, outside, So, and that's the idea, that it will be able to be accessible. And also, the idea is also that I want to make it kind of an open source project so that other people can contribute, because there's always going to be things that are missing and lacking and other perspectives as well.